Hey everybody, it's Johnny B. Truant with The Badass Project, and I am here today with Tim Wabach on the right and Mike Berkson on the left side of your screen, although I guess it would be reversed for you guys. And they are the gentlemen behind Handicap This, which is first and foremost a stage show. And you got a lot of other stuff going on too, right? So can you tell me a little bit, give me the story behind how you guys hooked up first, and then we'll start talking about what it is that you do.
Okay. We met in 2001, the summer of 2001, and I was kind of in between different things. I was looking for my path. I was looking to be just a substitute teacher, and then it turned out that I was going to be Mike's one-on-one aide.
Yes, that's how it works. We came into our lives, and little did we know what it was going to turn into.
So at the time, Mike, you were 12, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Tim, so you took on this job that you thought was going to be with a group, and you ended up in a one-on-one interaction, and obviously you guys hit it off and formed a friendship that's endured to this day. How did that...
Yep.
I mean, tell me about the evolution of that. Because, I mean, obviously there's always a connection between student and teacher, but you guys have turned it into a whole...
Right.
I think we just got along and we're really good. We just clicked.
Yeah, you know, I think from the moment I met Mike, I knew he was special, not because he's in a wheelchair, not because he has a twin brother, but because of his attitude, his zest for life, his sense of humor, and just... He seemed like someone who understood what life was all about, and it was an immediate connection, like you said.
I have a meaning of life. I didn't give it to him.
Right, excellent. So how long has it been then? And that's, of course, how long has it been since those days, and then you guys decided to start putting on this performance?
Yeah, you know, we started working together in 2001. I worked with him in 7th grade, 8th grade, and then his freshman year of high school. And then I kind of did try to do some other things. I moved actually out east. We live in Chicago. I moved out to Philadelphia to try a business venture. That was in 2007. It didn't work out the way I planned. I came back. Mike was just graduating high school. And then we started working together. Again, I would take him to college in the fall of 2007. And it was just, we had been asked to do some speaking engagements. And as we did some of those speaking engagements, we kind of realized, you know, we have a really cool story. It would be neat if we could turn it into a show. And that happened around 2008 is when we had the idea to do that.
And Mike, have you been a performer before? I mean, is this something that you've kind of wanted to do?
Not really, but I've always been, I had to do my own horn. But I've always been one might say creative, mm-hmm. or theatrically inclined. You know, my dad's been a public figure, so not really. But I guess I always had it in me. Mm-hmm. It just took someone to bring it out.
Excellent. And you, Tim, were you, because this is a performance that you guys do. Were you in that area?
Yeah, well, kind of, yes, no, not really. Basically, I've always wanted to be a professional speaker and help people in any way that I could. And when I was in college, I took some acting classes. I took some classes at Second City when I was in my early 20s. So I've always had that in me, but I was never any type of actor or any success or anything. Not at all.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we don't look at ourselves as actors per se, right? Because it's our story on stage.
We're playing us.
Yeah, we're just being ourselves. Yeah. But we try to do it in an entertaining way.
In a theatrical sort of way.
Well, so let me ask you this question then, and that's, what is it, I'm saying this in an affectionate, loaded way, what is it that makes your story worth telling? Like, what are the messages that are conveyed here that people need to see?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different layers to it. One, I would say, is we don't talk about disabilities. We talk about possibilities. Mm-hmm. But we use Mike as kind of like an example.
The example, yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a story about friendship. It's mm-hmm. a story about breaking down barriers. It educates people what it's like living with a disability.
And it's very entertaining as well. So if you go see it, you'll be educated, but you'll also be very entertained.
Yeah, we do it in a fun way, but we also do it in a serious way.
Yes, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll do other things.
We don't pull any punches, and you know, we tell it like it is, and you know, we try to take the audience on a journey, and at the end they see that, you know, maybe they didn't know exactly what life was all about, but now they do,
or they have a new perspective on life.
Right, exactly.
What are some of the things you say? You don't talk about disabilities, but you talk about possibilities. So, since you're the subject of that, like what does that mean? What are the possibilities in the way that it isn't disability and so forth?
In just about like what you can do in spite of your disability, mm-hmm. or how your disability, or how you can use your disability to an advantage. Like trying to find the silver lining. That's the way I kind of leave it.
So what are some silver linings that you found?
Good question. Just my ability to use my sense of humor to overcome obstacles. I don't want to give too much away because then you won't see the show. So I gotta walk the tightrope of how much I want to tell you.
I talked to comedian Josh Blue, who won what's the stand-up comedy.
Last comic standing.
Right. So, and he's got cerebral palsy, and that's, Mike, that's what you have, correct?
Correct.
So, and one of the things that Josh said when I talked to him was he said it gives him something that makes him unique and makes him stand out, whereas he said normally he would just be a goofy white guy, but now he's a goofy white guy with a really good hook.
Exactly. It's kind of like that for me. It's a hook. It's a conversation piece. It's a way to get women. Except it didn't work yet. But I'm working on it.
So take me through the. I mean, I know you don't want to reveal too much of the show, but take me through some of the sort of the high points and the moral moments in the show. I mean, who do you perform it for one? Because you travel, right?
Yeah, we basically, I think. I guess our ideal client would be like colleges.
But we'll do it for anybody.
Right, but next month we're going to the University of Illinois and doing it there for the Interfraternity Council. And then actually the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie, it's a theater, they hired us to do three shows there, two for their youth theater series, and then one, it's a community show open to the public. And that's Friday, November 4th. Mm-hmm. We're really gearing up for that. It's an 867-seat theater, so we're doing everything we can to promote and fill the place. So basically, I mean, our ideal client would be colleges, but really, you know, we do public performances as well.
We like people. So bring people and we'll do it.
So you like people who will watch the show.
Yes,
exactly.
If you have a post, you'll like it. Okay. I never met anyone that said, "Yeah, I don't like it." We never got a negative feedback for anything, which I think is a testament to just. I don't think it's a testament to us, but I guess it's a testament to our story and our ability to connect with other people.
Well, so
that was very well said.
So going back to it was well said. I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but it was.
I was being sarcastic.
Right. So I just want to boost you up on that one. Okay, so then back to the question before. I said, who do you perform it for? And without giving, of course, too much away, what are sort of the points that people are taking from this? Is it mainly a diversity message? Is it expanding your horizons, and people live differently than you do, and that sort of thing?
I think it's a combination. I think it's pointing out the differences while bringing everyone closer together.
Yeah, that's great. It really
write that down.
It really does bring everyone closer together and realize that, you know, we're all just people and we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. And a lot of times the feedback that we're getting is that we're inspiring others to do more mm-hmm. with what they have.
So, Mike, a lot of people with a disability, it seems like they tend to, a lot of people would shrink kind of to the background and say, you know, you haven't been mainstream all your life, just sort of by definition of what mainstream ends up being. And so you end up being kind of quiet, and you've chosen to go out and be in front of everybody. And I'm wondering if that was something when you were growing up that that was instilled in you or something like that, that you've decided that you're just like, I'm going to do this thing.
I don't know if it was instilled. I think I knew my personality. I'm a pretty outgoing fellow.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think I'm pretty outgoing, and I like to make people laugh. I like to make people think, and people tend to gravitate toward me. So I don't know if it was instilled in me so much. I think it's just me as a person. Disability or not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And Tim, that's obviously something that you saw when you met.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was one that always impressed other people, and like especially like his classmates, and they always kind of looked up to him as like the smart kid in the class, and that was always
we're impressed.
And that was you know, I always enjoyed seeing how other students reacted to Mike, because most of the ones that I, you know, that I encountered was positive. I mean, sure, there were some negative ones, but really, it was positive, and that was.
I kind of like the negative ones now, because I like the negativity, but that was always funny.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point. Is kids are really good at sort of pigeonholing people and saying that I am like this and other people are like this, and I, you know, I maybe have a prejudice for my group, or I don't if I've been exposed to a lot of other people. And so I think that a lot of us grew up with the perception that special education typically meant kids who are slower. So if you started in and you guys were working together, my guess is that, you know, a lot of kids probably say, well, the slow kids and then the kids with disabilities, and it kind of lumped you together. But if you're a really smart dude, like, just pointing that out is the sort of thing that's going to change a lot of paradigms, too. I mean, have you run into that sort of thing where they're like, hey, you're a smart guy, you know?
Yeah, there is a pride when I can talk. People assume that I can't talk, and then when I talk, I scare them. Like, they're very fast. I have to say this, and I have to say this carefully, because I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I don't like special ed because, from a school standpoint, mm-hmm. because I think it kind of pigeonholes you into a way of thinking, and a way of dealing with people that isn't, like, that isn't, it's not advantageous. Because then you have the assumption of special ed, and as soon as you're lumped into special ed, you can't really get out of it, because they have the preconceived notions of what it means to be in special ed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't really talk to you about it. They say, okay, you're in special ed, you need this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no, I don't. And they'll say, well, yeah, you do. Well, you do, because you're in special ed, and we're the special ed teachers. So we're going to tell you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. And I would always say, I don't need that. We should do it like this. And then they're going, no, you got to do it this way. And then at the end of every school year, they would come back to me and they would go, well, you were right. You didn't need to do it like this. So I think the problem that I have was, as soon as you're in special ed, they label you a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not their fault, because that's what special ed is. They're trying to help people. But I think it hurts. It hurts as much as it can hurt as much as it can help.
I totally agree with that, by the way. And that's sort of what I was getting at with my last question, too, is that once you've been labeled with that, I mean, that's not a flattering label to have in a school, is the special ed. And it's, you have situations and that are unique to Mike, not unique, you know what I mean? Like, there isn't this one prescription that says that you need to be taught this way, but I think that's true of anything. Like, it happens with learning disabled kids, too. You say, you are learning disabled, and then they kind of never have a chance to catch up. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole educational thing here, but you know what I mean? Like, once you decide that you're the slow kid, you're never going to get out of it. That's why I think people have this controversy over, like, IQ scores, kids knowing their own IQ scores or teachers knowing them. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Like, I totally get it. So let's talk about the title of the show is Handicap This, which is sort of it's an attitude filled title. So what's the story there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were trying to be, I don't know if irreverent's the right word, but mm-hmm. we were definitely trying to have an edge to it, because, you know, we didn't want to be politically correct. Yeah.
We're not politically correct.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, we wanted to be real, and you know, that's kind of came to us, and we're like, that was it. We're not changing it. That's perfect. we came up with it, like, even before we came up with the show.
I think you just said it one day, and then I said, "Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good."
We must be kindred spirits, because that's the sort of thing I would just, it would be like the first thing I'd think of, handicap this. You know what I mean? So the logo that you're wearing, I can't read what it says under it. What is the...
Underneath it says, making cerebral palsy fun since 2008. And
I made that up.
And the reason why we chose 2008 is that's when we had the idea for handicap this. So
I credit for that one. I came up with that.
Well, you guys are definitely slogan guys, right? Because I saw on like the About page or something on your site, I forget, I don't have it in front of me, you got a, there's a bunch of people holding signs what does it say? What are the signs?
Judgment not allowed.
Judgment not allowed.
Okay.
Now that the disability.
I guess what you could say is our logo, people always get, they don't understand it, and that little mm-hmm. slogan kind of makes sense.
It makes it easier for them to swallow. You will. Yeah. If they don't like, some people don't like the symbol. They don't like the circle with the line.
And I guess where that came from is what we're doing with the sign or the symbol is we're using that as what other people normally perceive of handicapped people, and that's what it means, what it stands for. And
some people think it's against handicapped people, and I'm like, that's why you gotta come to the show.
And then that's where Judgment Not Allowed comes in for the logo.
I have a few t-shirts that I don't like to wear in public because I don't want to explain them. So it kind of reminds me of that.
I have a few t-shirts that I wear in public because I like to explain them.
Right, exactly. Like, there's one shirt I would wear and people would say something. No, it means something else, and you know, I don't need to be explaining the whole thing. So you say the idea of the no is the perception, like the emotional hooks that are tied to that image and so forth. So like give me some of the things that you feel are tied to that you would like to debunk.
Well, I think part of it, like what Mike was saying earlier, is just, you know, right away when people think you're in special ed or they mm-hmm. think that you have a disability, that you have a learning disability, or you're not intelligent, you're not, you know, you can't offer anything from intellectual aspect. So that's like the first one is that, I would
and
say.
And there's a lot of little ones that nobody thinks of. I can't think of them.
Nice. Also, like, just even from a physical standpoint, like, all right, there's, you know, Mike can't really move his arms and his legs, but yet he can still do a lot with what he has, and he has his the ability to communicate, and he does that so eloquently so many times. Mm-hmm. And
I have to use the one finger. For multiple reasons. But that's not the point.
It's his remote finger.
Right. Which finger is it?
It's my left pointing finger.
Is it?
Awesome.
Yeah,
is
it this one?
Yeah, this one.
This is the left one, right?
Yeah, and I use it so much that it's like frozen in place now. So now, even if I wanted to move, it wouldn't go anywhere. But like, that's what I mean by like the silver lining. Like, okay, I can't walk. I can't do a lot of stuff. I'm a heck of a flip all the time. But what can I do with what I have? And because I can talk, and because I can use this one finger, I'm able to do certain things. So I gravitate toward the thing that I can do, and I kind of exploit, and I mean that in a good way, I exploit what I can do. I can't sit up. So he's pushing me around. No, but it's all about using what you got, because it's not bad if you can't do something. It's only bad if you can't do something with what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would even go so far as to say you've actually gone above. So it's not like there's a set of things that like your mainstream person has, and you have some of those, so you're going to make the most of them. I think it's even more than that. Like, you wouldn't probably have a show. You know what I mean? Like, if you were just two average guys, I don't think you would have a show.
Right. Like,
it would be like
right.
a two average guys show. You know what I mean? So well, you're actually
exploring. We might have a show, but nobody would see it.
Right. Well, maybe if you're funny enough, you know, I don't know.
Maybe like a street performing or something like that. Right.
I kind of want to street perform now.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that you're doing with Handicap This, I mean, obviously that's something that I can relate to. We're the Badass Project.
Exactly.
Actually, where that came from is, I don't know if you know this story. I've told it a few times, so the people who watch all these videos are getting bored of it by now. But John Morrow, who was our number one badass, it was actually his idea that he said he wanted to get a T-shirt that said, "I'm a badass," and wear it around all the time, just because he thought it would be funny. Like, he'd be like, you don't expect a guy in a wheelchair to think of himself as a badass. But, I don't know. So I just respect the hell out of anything like that.
Well, that exactly. Like, my friend Adam Carroll actually told us about you back, I think it was in January. And so we've, you know, been following you guys, and we, you know, we think, well, what we've been telling people when people are asking, you're doing a badass interview, what's that? I'm like, well, they're kind of like Handicapped This, except without the live stage show. That's what we've been telling people.
Yeah, we're badass is an attitude, you know what I mean? Like, it's a refusal to settle and to just sort of say, yeah, screw you, I'm not going to do things the way that somebody is saying I should do it, which is exactly what you guys are doing. So
it's a state of mind.
It is. It totally is a state of mind. It
yeah,
totally
exactly.
is. Totally is. So what's next? Like, what's next for you guys? What do you have on the? I mean, other than the shows you told me about.
Right. You know, that's obviously our main focus in the interim or in the close short term. But I think like our dream would be to perform on Broadway. Yes. Like that's our.
Like cats.
That would be like our main, you know, we would just love to be able to do that, do the show on Broadway. But mainly just get the word out and, you know, be a player in this community.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, I hope that I'd go see it on Broadway. I mean, I have zero Broadway experience. I've seen one show, but you know, so there you go. You got one vote, you know. What it means, which apparently is nothing, but there you go.
Because then it's going to be better. Because then you have no idea if it's bad or not. You have nothing to compare it to.
That's true. I can truthfully say that's the best Broadway show I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Either way. Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a demographic that maybe everybody should look to target, is that audience that doesn't have any point for comparison. That'd be pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good market. Good marketing strategy.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Marketing strategy.
Yeah, your slogan could be, you'll have no idea whether it's any good or not. That'd be awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. All right, guys. It has been very good talking to you. I think we're going to tie it up on that note. But
awesome.
Very cool with two sort of like-minded projects, I think, here to come together.
Absolutely.
And get a chance to talk to you guys and tell the world about you, because it's very cool. So thank you for being part of the Badass.
That was fun. I'd be up to do it again anytime you want.
Make it a regular thing.
Yes.
All right, guys.
Don't get tired of us.
Right. Well, that's where you got to get that Broadway show going.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, it has been great having you on the Badass Project, Tim and Mike from Handicap This, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.